Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, where every week our crew of intrepid dipshits blather on about all manner of gaming topics, as if they actually have something useful to say. Really, it is just the worst when it comes to podcasts, but here's an idea. Turn it into a drinking game. Every time they say something stupid, take a drink. But seriously, don't do that. Your liver will thank you.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bellis.
And today, we have a little bit of a special show. Mostly because we had to, you know, record it all in advance because we're out of town the weekend we normally would be. Family reunions! Yay!
Yay!
Yes. So anyway, normally it would be your month to pick and deconstruct a role-playing game, but you ran out of them, right?
Well, no, the ones I still have aren't worth the time.
Ah.
They're just, you know, your cheap rip-offs of old D&D first edition, and they're just, there's nothing really to them.
So, with that in mind, I went to the well and broke out a game that I had to go back and check through all of our previous shows to make sure, yeah, we haven't done an official deconstructing of this game. I know we've discussed it. We've never actually done a full show on it, and that is Feng Soy.
Yep.
Now, of course, people will say, well, no, that's not how it's spelled. It says Feng Shui is the name of the game. Yes. Mm-hmm. But if you look in the book, in the pronunciations, it says it's pronounced Feng Soy. So, yeah. Although I'm sure somebody who speaks Cantonese or whatever will tell me, actually, no, you're a little off on your pronunciation. Whatever, it's a role-playing game. And it's a damn good one.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, for Knights of the Tabletop, this is going to have to be a game we play in one of our little breaks.
I'm all for that.
Oh, my God, yes. So, what is Feng Soy? It is a action, comedy, melodrama, role-playing game.
Well, not exactly. It's pretty much anything you want it to be. It can be a horror game. It can be a comedy. It can be anything.
Yeah. Well, if you've ever seen the John Carpenter classic, Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, yes.
That's Feng Soy. Mm-hmm. But if you've seen the absolutely fantastic police drama or crime drama, The Killer, starring Chow Yun-fat, that's Feng Soy. And I know people will probably want to slap me who love this game, but to be honest, it's true. Will Smith in Wild Wild West is Feng Soy. Although you could also say Clint Eastwood and the Man with No Name movies are also kind of Feng Soy. It has four different time zones because there's these conjunctions of time that have slammed together, and in the netherworld you can go from the contemporary time to 69 AD, 1850, or as far in the future as 2056, which has a dystopian sci-fi setting. Of course, 1850 is, you know, the Old West, basically. And 69 AD is, best description would be a bunch of fantasy anime and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Wuxia films.
That's a good way to put it. Oh, yeah.
And Big Trouble in Little China is just kind of a story of where contemporary clashed with ghosts and monsters coming out of 69 AD China.
Mm-hmm.
And it is fucking awesome.
Oh, I think so.
It's written by the, I'll say it by now, legend in role-playing games, Robin D. Laws. He has written so many great games. But I think Feng Shui is probably among their crowning achievements. Because it's so simple, but also extremely detailed. I mean, you have 2d6. That's all you need. Two different colored d6 dice. One is a negative, one's a positive.
Yep.
When you make a skill check, you roll them, you subtract the negative die from the positive die. You want to get a positive result, so you want to get high on your positive die and low on your negative, so that it adds to your skill check, and you hopefully exceed the target number you need to succeed. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
If you get a negative, it reduces from your skill check, and you may fail. If you roll 2 sixes, boxcars, you then would roll again and just, not including your skills, just see if you get a negative result or a positive result by subtracting the negative from the positive on the second roll, ignoring any future boxcars. But when you get those boxcars, what the next result is tells you whether it is a positive unusual effect that occurs or a negative. It's not necessarily a fumble, but it could be. It's just something weird happens, something unusual, something that enhances the story, because Laws says right in the rules, you've got these dice rolls, you've got these skill checks, you've got these different stunts and abilities and magic and technology and all that, and none of it matters. If rolling the dice, if making skill checks or whatever is interfering with the story, then stop doing that and just focus on the story. This is so heavily, you know, when I was running it, I would, I homebrewed a rule that I would be easier on people that actually role played, that got into character. And if you didn't, if you just popped up and said, like our former friend Patty, she wanted to play a killer, an assassin, she would pop up, shoot her gun, and then hop down behind cover. That was it. Okay, so you get your ring, very technical, fine. You get no bonuses. I'm not going to help you out in any way. You make your skill or you don't. But people that did flamboyant and fun things, and, you know, actually got into their characters, they had it easier.
Uh-huh.
And it... Well, why am I keep missing? I don't know. Maybe you should do something fun. Because if you're not going to do something fun, why would I focus on your character? It's supposed to be run like a movie. It's very cinematic. So if your character's doing boring things, why would the camera focus on you? Now it's going to focus on the guy who's running along the rafters of a warehouse, chucking dynamite down at bad guys. Or who's, you know, running up along walls and doing, you know, kicking guys in the head as, you know, some sort of, you know, kung fu master or whatever. Riding on the top of a runaway forklift with submachine guns in either hand, mowing down mooks. That's fun. That everybody's laughing and having a good time when that happens.
It's not fun for the mooks.
No, no one cares about mooks. That's what's so cool. Mooks are basically your unnamed bad guys.
Yeah.
The various gang members or monster hordes or whatever. That none of them matter. You can, for the most part, take them out without any issues whatsoever.
Well, you're supposed to be, you know, this super kung fu guy.
Or sorcerer or whatever.
20 minutes beating, you know, one nameless mook kind of kills the flow of the game.
Exactly. I mean, like our friend that took out a mook by shoving his face in a bowl of egg soup.
Another yeah, but he one was also using the big soup ladles as tonfas.
Improvised weapons are the best. And kicked a dude through a plate glass window, and he ended up hanging in the neon sign for the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are fun things. These are things that are memorable, obviously. We're bringing them up. And by doing things like that, you carry the story along. You make it fun for everybody and interesting for everybody. And so, God, we have to play this for Knights of the Tabletop.
I'm willing.
And they make it so easy. Like I said, the action, the skill resolution is super simple. Picking a character is even more simple. Go into the book. Hey, look, you know, what did you feel like playing? Oh, I was thinking maybe an assassin. Okay, here's the archetype for killer. Write this stuff down. It has gives you a few little things that you can adjust your skills and attributes and whatnot to make it more personalized to yourself. That's your character. Have fun.
Yep.
Throw a name on it. Give it a backstory. You be working on that while we do everybody else. Bam! Solved. Takes 20, 30 minutes for everybody to make characters. It's stupid fun. The only time it's more complicated is if you have somebody that is a magic user or has like high-tech stuff, like a cyborg, mm-hmm. and they want to really, you know, change all their stuff around. That can be a chore, but not too much of one.
Yep.
I don't even know if this game is still in print. I'm sure you can get it.
Oh, you can get a PDF version of it. PDF.
Yeah. But I mean hardcover, because I love me some hardcover. That was what, Atlas Games? Last one I got it printed. Atlas Games. Doot to doot to doot to doot to doot. Oh. They got Feng Shui 2.
Yep. I was just gonna say that means they've redone it.
Oh no. Well, estimated reprint release is November 2019. Or you can get the PDF. Oh, and it's got a conversion codex so you can continue to use your first edition rules. Just carry them over to second edition. Oh my. And it won 2016 awards for best rules, best setting, best game, and a nominee for product of the year. That was in the Any Awards. Yeah.
I think it deserved it.
You know, I got to get me this.
Of course. You buy things that you really don't need. So, you know, games that you probably never will play, but you buy them anyways. So this, sure. Something that you definitely will be playing.
Oh, yeah.
Of course you're going to buy it.
Yep. Anyway, so yeah, Atlas Games. Super cool.
It is definitely worth buying. I can't stress that enough. Whoever out there wants something different than D&D or Vampire the Masquerade or whatever Star Wars game you're playing, if you like the wushu action Hong Kong films, this is perfect for you.
Sure. And even, you know, some of those cheesy 80s action films, this emulates those really well. I mean, Time Cop.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I hate that movie, it kind of fits a little bit. But
well, Time Cop, Cyborg.
God, yeah, Cyborg.
I mean, you could do a... I hate it when I draw a blank on a name. Fists of Fury, I think it was.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee movie.
Pretty much anything with Bruce Lee.
Once Upon a Time. It was Once Upon a Time in China.
Yeah.
You know, there are just so many good movies out there that could be recreated in after a fashion.
Sure. And, you know, there are other games that do this sort of thing, too. Don't get me wrong. There are. But here's a good description from John Rogers, who was in Leverage and The Librarians, those television shows.
Mm-hmm.
Taken from the foreword for their second edition book. Leap off buildings, sword fight across treetops, pry artifacts from death trap-laden temples, have running gun battles through the underworld in a desperate race to keep history itself from being rewritten. Yep. That's Feng Shui.
Yeah.
Apparently it updates the first edition to include an expanded setting and simplified character creation. I'm not sure how much more you could simplify their character creation.
Oh, I'm sure there's room for improvement.
Well, the rules for making your own archetype. Yeah, that could certainly be simplified. But, yeah, it's... Wow. I'm so thrilled to see this. So good. And again, Robin Laws is behind it.
Well, you'd expect him to step down, maybe?
No. But sometimes they bring in different authors to write the next edition, that sort of thing. But, oh my, yes, please. Anyway, sorry, that we're talking about the first edition. The second edition I don't have in my hands, although it looks awesome. I am so glad to see Ten's over there smiling at me. She knows how much I love this stuff. It's so good to see a great game from a couple decades ago basically come back and get a fresh renewal.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because for a while there, Feng Shui was basically just, hanging out in the wind. Only people that were hardcore fans would remember it.
Which is a shame.
Yeah.
Because it's a really cool game, and it really deserves a video streamed show.
Oh, yeah. That would be so good. Or, at the very least, an audio podcast that somebody animates.
That would be cool.
That would be super cool. Of course, on my budget, I couldn't afford that for Knights of the Tabletop. But, hey. I think I could probably get people to agree to have this as the campaign that follows up Bugmire.
Yeah.
That might be a best way to go with it. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Super great game. What are some thoughts you have regarding it that we haven't discussed?
There was more that could have been done with, like, the old master archetype.
Sure. Let me ask you this.
I mean, they've got cool abilities and everything, but I don't know. It just seemed a little lackluster. Right. Might have been just me.
Let me ask you this. What's wrong with Feng Shui? Obviously, aside from the old master seeming lackluster.
There's not a lot wrong with it, really. It's popcorn crunching fun,
right?
Kind of game.
I would say, unless you're really dedicated into it, it's really hard to maintain a consistent campaign of the game. You have to have some really detailed thoughts regarding it and really get into the world of it. Because otherwise, it's really great for one-shots. Oh my god. It's almost a party game of a role-playing game. But it tends to bog down, story-wise, after 3 or 4 sessions. And you tend to find people, they just kind of, wander off.
Well, you just need the right game master, someone who has this grand vision.
You also need players that are super into their characters that don't just go, oh, I'm an assassin, pop up behind cover, from behind cover, shoot, and drop back down. They are the wet blankets of Feng Shui.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, players like that can absolutely kill a campaign. Because, yeah, there's a place for the stoic, mysterious killer. I mean, Chow Yun-Fat. But they did it in a stylish manner. They didn't just pop out from behind cover, shoot, and drop down behind cover. There were running gun battles and all kinds of stuff. And those, that's why I mentioned it's very melodramatic, because the killer is super melodramatic, as a lot of the contemporary Chinese crime dramas were.
I know this isn't Chinese, but I just thought of a movie franchise that would be perfect if you did it through Feng Shui.
Mm-hmm.
John Wick.
Yes, please. John Wick absolutely fits in Feng Shui. He is the modern representation of Chow Yun-Fat's character in The Killer.
Uh-huh.
They're very compatible.
Without a doubt.
And, I mean, whereas Chow's character was trying to make amends for the woman he blinded mm-hmm. accidentally, John Wick is super pissed that somebody killed his dog.
And well, it was a little more than just that. But
it wasn't just any dog. And there was more to it, but basically it was his dead wife had given him this dog. That's all. That was the last he had from her. And they took it away from him for literally no reason. And when he went looking for compensation for that, he was told, no, that's my son. And so he went, okay. Everybody dies.
Well, that's the killer logic.
Yeah, I mean, he was going to have his vengeance one way or another. And I know the second and third movies expand from that, but it all still basically comes down to a puppy that they kicked to death, if I remember right.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, they all stomped and kicked the dog while they'd had beaten him senseless, just so they could take his car.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy wanted his car. So that is John Wick is a killer. And you just focus those extra skill points and whatnot towards like pistols and things like that. And as he developed from movie to movie, you could get more points basically to throw into other stuff, like what? I haven't seen the third movie. Hell, I haven't really seen the second movie. But didn't he kill somebody with horses?
I don't remember that, but
I'm asking. Yep, she's nodding. Yep, he killed somebody with horses in the third movie. At least incapacitated with a horse.
I remember he was riding down the street on the horse, shooting at people.
Yeah. And so that is Feng Shui. Absolutely. I mean, you uh-huh. can totally, you don't have to do the whole, intercrossing worlds and whatnot. If you just want to play John Wick, the game, bam, here's your rules right there. Just limit it to killers and whatnot. And you'd have basically gangland mooks and there you go. You ignore the magic rules, ignore all that, and just go with stunts that are appropriate to the contemporary world. There you go. Have fun.
Well, and, going in a slightly different version is the Punisher.
Yeah.
You could do the Punisher with Feng Shui.
Yeah. Oh, I believe they still... I believe in this book, They have the Masked Avenger, because, yeah, that's what I played. You could play a superhero. Well, you technically don't have powers, although there are characters there that do, but mine was just a guy who was nuts.
Yeah.
And ran around in a superhero uniform.
Yeah, well, sometimes bullets are all you need.
Indeed. But let me see. Anyway, so I'm assuming that Feng Soy the original is not available for sale anymore. Nope, I don't think so. Oh, they have actual Feng Soy dice specific to it. And archetype packs and some digital adventures and shot counters and whatnot. Oh my gosh, so much stuff. It looks like that's, yeah, pretty cool. Anyway, you can't get the original game anymore, it looks like. You might be able to find it as a PDF somewhere, like a drive-through RPG. I would suggest going with the most advanced version. I'm sure you could play D&D First Edition if you go find the books. Sure. You're probably better off playing 5th Edition. Just saying. Same reasoning. So, yeah. God, it's got a gate GM screen. Ooh, I'm going to spend so much money.
You're still drooling over that.
I am. I'm sorry, I am. This is so good. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. They have a link for the first edition. Oh, I was wrong.
You can still get it.
Let me see. Nope, they're out of stock. Can you get it digitally? Yep. $20. Never mind. It's a little harder to find. But yeah, you can still get first edition as well. So good.
That's awesome.
It is. It's great when they a company supports a game like this because they know it's a quality game. It just has to find its
audience.
Audience, exactly. Which is so fitting considering it's movie based. If you want a quality game, by God, go out and get Feng Soy. I could not give it a higher recommendation.
As far as my favorites, it's probably at worst number 3.
I'd have to say it's in my top 5 all time of role-playing games, easily. It's hard, you know, I go back and I look at my wall of games.
Uh-huh.
And D&D 5th Edition has now pushed its way in there, and Pugmire's in there, and I really like Dead of Night.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at the older games, and it's like Feng Soy and Whispering Vault have always been 1 and 2. Which one's the more, you know, which one do I like better? So, yeah. At least right now it's my favorite. How's that?
Yep.
Oh my. So good. Anyway. Oh, I didn't know Atlas Games made Gloom. Cool.
Made what?
Gloom.
Oh, Gloom.
Yeah.
Right.
Jump over there. Quick, I wanted to look and see what they were doing. Nope, they don't carry it. Anyway, I'm still looking for anybody that might be carrying an updated version of Whispering Vault. Alas. Yeah. I have my 2 copies, and I guess that's good enough.
One would hope so.
Oh, gosh. How could I have forgotten All Flesh Must Be Eaten? That's up there, too. I've got a lot of games I love.
Apparently.
Yeah. I have a feeling we'll be talking about All Flesh Must Be Eaten maybe next month?
Maybe? Sure.
I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you got this far. I'm impressed. Also, if you decided to play the drinking game, please get yourself to a hospital right away. No human should ever drink that much alcohol. If you actually enjoyed this travesty of a podcast, please drop by our website at schoolme.com, which could inspire a drinking game of its own.